This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Thank you for listening. Right around this time each and every week, we do our best to highlight people, places, entities, things that deserve a little bit of a pat on the back. As we do each and every week around this time as part of...
The Other Side of Midnight presents Commendations.
I must first begin by commending Olivia Patterson, a six-year-old, a heroic six-year-old, who saved a family from their burning home on the afternoon of April 4th. Olivia Patterson looked up from her neighbor's backyard in North Yorkshire, England, and saw smoke billowing from the roof of her house. The six-year-old charged inside to wake up her mother and baby siblings. Everyone escaped unharmed thanks to her actions. Olivia is one brave little girl. I must also commend these good Samaritans in Minnesota. Big shout out, by the way, to all of our listeners on WCCO in Minneapolis. But these good Samaritans in Minnesota who pulled a driver out of a car that was engulfed in flames. This group of good Samaritans rushed to help, and it was all caught on camera in St. Paul. Dash cam footage shows bystanders racing to rescue the driver of a car after a fiery crash on Monday morning, last Monday. Dramatic video from Kadir Tola's Tesla camera captures the frantic moment drivers run to help save a man trapped inside his car engulfed in flames. Tola said, "That was the craziest moment of my life." With the guardrail in the way, Tola and the group of Good Samaritans desperately tried to pry the doors open and break the window. You know, I got one of those hammers in my car that we could break the window if we're trapped. But it wasn't until a driver with the Minnesota Department of Transportation's Freeway Incident Response Safety Team showed up with a tool that could shatter the glass that they were able to pull the driver to safety with just seconds to spare. So they are able to get the driver out, and the whole car is enveloped in flames. I want to give a commendation to Dave Labrosi. Dave Labrosi has been a veteran radio professional for a long time. I got to know him when he was the program director at WABC in New York. But we worked together for a short time, but he was a radio guy, you know, a radio guy's radio guy. And then he wanted to go back to Pennsylvania, which is where he's from. And he went to be the brand manager over at KDKA. And this past week, he just retired from KDKA in Pittsburgh. And I think has worked in radio for close to 40 years. And that's a rare thing to do. in this day and age especially, is to be able to make your living in radio for multiple decades and put your kids through school and put food on your family's table and have radio, which is a notoriously volatile industry, be able to do it. And he did it. And I liked Dave. When he was here, I learned a great deal from him, and I thought he was a good guy. I haven't really kept in touch with him, but I was always glad that he was out there, and I'm glad that he got to kind of retire on his own terms. So, commendation to you, Dave Labrosi, for being a real radio pro and going out on your own terms. Best of luck to you and whatever you do next. I want to commend Norway. Norway's, you know, Norway banned smartphones in school. And the more I learn about smartphones, the more I have become an advocate of keeping children away from them. And I do think they should be banned in schools. I know it cuts both ways. I know there's arguments on both sides. I believe the smartphone should be banned. But I'd like to see how it's worked out in the places that have banned them. Well, it turns out we have some analysis out of Norway. In what I think is very unsurprising news, middle school kids in Norway have been feeling mentally healthier and performing better academically since a public health initiative banned smartphones in schools. This is according to a new study. After 3 years of the policy, girls' GPAs increased while visits to mental health professionals decreased by 60%, and girls from lower-income families benefited the most. There wasn't much effect on boys' academic standing, but both boys and girls experienced 43 to 46% less bullying after putting their phones away. In my view, this is a no-brainer. I really do think, I know maybe it's tough to get the genie back in the bottle at this point. It's got to be done. Got to be done. And hats off to Norway for having the gumption to do this and show the rest of the world how it can work. It did work out, and it worked out pretty well for Norway. I want to commend Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, which is in Pennsylvania's Cumberland County. I don't think I've ever been to Camp Hill, but this small little town in Pennsylvania has been named the best place to retire. The ideal American small town to retire in, probably unknown to most people. It was certainly unknown to me. But with a relatively low average monthly cost of living, a low crime rate, and other attributes that make it highly livable, Camp Hill in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, is apparently the best small town in the U.S. for retirees. That's according to a report by GoBankingRates.com, which looked at small towns with populations of between 1,000 and 10,000 with an eye towards the perfect retirement. In addition to the total number of households and median household income of each town, researchers also obtained average rental and living costs, as well as crime rates and livability data. They took into account housing opportunities, transportation services, all sorts of other things. Area amenities. So, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, I do commend you. I must also commend Hercules the cat and all those who rescued Hercules. From homelessness and near death, I'm glad Christy Noem never got her hands on Hercules the cat. From homelessness and near death to being a model for one of the biggest retailers in the world, this is the amazing true story of Hercules the cat. It begins in June of 2022. When bystanders called for help after spotting a car jammed with cats at a rest stop. The temperature was 94 degrees. The Sheriff's Department and the Animal Humane Society took 47 cats to vets and shelters. But one, the one that's now called Hercules, escaped. Volunteers from Tough Start Rescue found him a month later, lying motionless, near death, his fur drenched in urine. Need we guess as to how Christy Noem would have handled this? He had a severe jaw fracture and a maggot infestation that was so bad that it eroded through his cheek tissue. Ugh, poor cat. So a veterinarian, Dr. Nicole Perrault, helped put Hercules back together. He had multiple surgeries, including several on his jaw, which at one point was held together with surgical thread and blue buttons. With his referral care and everything, they probably put in about $12,000 in veterinary care on him. And so then Dr. Perrault approached her friend Jill LeBron, a registered nurse, to foster Hercules. And with his fractured jaw, Hercules' tongue hangs out a lot, and an animal talent agency was looking for cats with unusual faces. So as this nurse is fostering Hercules, she sent them a picture, and they wanted him for the photo shoot, and he did great. And now the agency wants him back, and Hercules is even getting recognized. Now, this cat is a model for Target. So he made $100 from his first modeling gig, and it apparently is going to lead to other modeling gigs in the future. Speaking of Target, I want to commend the Target employee who stopped three women stealing a shopping cart with nearly $600 of merchandise. You know, you hear all these stories of trying to stop shoplifting and how these stories go wrong. And then it was, you hear all these stories and you really are blown away at how anybody would ever do anything. Because the easy thing to do is what? Cover your own backside. The easy thing to do is to not do anything. Well, this dramatic video captured an attentive Target employee jumping into action and stopping these three women from stealing a shopping cart with nearly $600 worth of clothes and other goods moments before the wannabe thugs took off. And the surveillance footage from this Target in New Jersey shows the employee sprinting out of the store and stopping the women just outside the entrance, prompting them to run to their silver Jeep SUV parked nearby and take off. The trio entered the Berlin Cross Keys Road store on Monday. They filled their cart to the brim with clothing and other items totaling $581.29. And the video footage shows the women, one wearing a blue and black scarf on her head, one in a pink coat and one in a brown coat, entering the store. And surveillance footage shows the trio milling through the women's clothing section, adding all sorts of items to their cart. And video shows the employee rushing in front of their cart just outside the store. The two women immediately walk away, hopping into the car, waiting for them. The suspect's Jeep had a temporary license plate and a spare front tire. So they're asking for help. The police are asking for help identifying the woman. Anyone with information, and you can see the video for yourself, just type in Target shoplifting. Anyone with information is asked to call the Gloucester Township Police Department at 856-228-4500, 856-228-4500. But it's a brave employee. I know some people may hear that story and think, okay, that's what employees are supposed to do. But you know what? Honestly, I think a lot of people would hear that story and think, you know what? I'm not getting paid enough to risk my life or risk potentially getting assaulted to stop a shoplifter or three shoplifters. You don't know if they're armed. You don't know what the story is. I give this employee credit. And if I had their name, I would give them their name. I want to commend Lloyd Martin at just 19 years old. Lloyd Martin, who has Down syndrome, has made history as the youngest impaired person to finish the London Marathon. He became the youngest person ever to finish the London Marathon with Down syndrome. He received a Guinness World Records plaque at the finishing line, and Lloyd Martin says it's a dream come true, and he celebrated the 26.4 miles with some pretty fly dance moves for someone with impaired motor function. And he ran continuously for the first 14 miles, a personal best, before switching to bouts of walking and jogging. But he finished 26 miles. 26 miles is tough for anybody, let alone someone with Down syndrome. So I give him a lot of credit. And then lastly, I want to commend our friends Rachel and Darren Yellen. They had the three of us, my wife and my son Carmine, over the weekend to their house. And they insisted on buying dinner, which was a delightful feast of Japanese food. And I said when we were ordering, because the one thing I just cannot control myself with is Japanese food, I said, please let me pay, because I'm going to get stuff that's so expensive. I'm getting these sashimi, you know, deluxe stuff and all sorts of other stuff that I don't want to feel bad ordering this stuff. Let me just pay. And they insisted, no. Let us pay. But they were great hosts for Carmine, and they have a new dog themselves. And it was actually Darren that first told me about that story of Christy Nome. It had just broke a little bit before that. And he had just gotten a new dog. Their dog died. And it was basically to see Carmine, who's 2 years old, play with their puppy, who's basically the same age in dog equivalent, that I think it was a lot of fun. So it was great to see them. We hadn't seen them in a long time, but it was giving them the commendation for buying Japanese food and being such great hosts. So thank you, Darren and Rachel. All right. We're going to take your calls on anyone I've commended in a moment. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real.
Strawberry Fields, the Beatles. Another birthday bumper music selection by Philippe. Happy birthday, Philippe. Taking your calls at 800-848-9222. Two open lines if you want to jump on board with a question or a comment. That's 800-848-9222. Have you seen this new J.P. Morgan style guide? I know, like, I almost don't want to give life to this, but I think it's important to mention stories like this, because this is, this stuff is really happening. It's easy to think that this is all just created by talk radio and cable news to fill 24 hours, but it's not. There's a story in the New York Post by John Levine about this. J.P. Morgan Chase employees, they mocked a recently unveiled diversity, equity, and inclusion style guide, which clamps down on supposed anti-woke language. The glossary of not recommended words and phrases lives on the company's internal intranet. If you're not that computer savvy, an intranet is basically something that only employees of your company can utilize. And it was obtained by the New York Post, courtesy of a whistleblower. This is what the guide declares in the preamble. This is what their stated purpose is. Our language matters, and like our diverse culture of respect, equity, and inclusion, the words and terms we use as communicators continue to evolve and become more culturally competent, reflecting our values and intersectional global workforce. To communicate with empathy, we recommend you use the most inclusive terminology. If I ever got handed a style guide that said, we recommend that you get you use the most inclusive terminology. I would just bang my head against the wall. I said, really? This is where I'm working? This is what this company is concerned about? Using the most inclusive terminology? All right. Employees should avoid gendered terms like man hours. Are you kidding me? Really? Really? Man hours? And manpower. Instead of man hours and manpower, you should use labor hours and workforce. Oof. Boy, I'm glad David Letterhuman is not on television anymore. References to good schools and good neighborhoods are to be replaced by the term well-resourced. If someone told you that they came from a good neighborhood, wouldn't you know exactly what they meant? If someone told you that they came from a school that was well-resourced, would you have any idea what they meant? See, that's the problem with all this diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff, is a lot of times it just makes it more difficult to understand what people are talking about. Instead of blacklist, the firm recommends disallow list. Yes, that's right, disallow list. Company powwows, which could upset Native Americans, are also a no-no. The glossary even delves into geopolitics, suggesting employees be sure to refer to the war in Ukraine and refrain from calling it a conflict. The glossary offered no explanation. Other verboten terms include cakewalk. Cakewalk. Like white glove treatment, this term is rooted in the history and mistreatment of enslaved African Americans in the United States. Instead, use easy to do or achieve. Really? Well, hey, this seminar is going to be a real cakewalk. This seminar is going to be really easy to achieve. The phrase comes from a pre-Civil War dance once performed by slaves. I'll be honest, I did not know that was the origin of the term cakewalk. Even compliments can get you in trouble. The word articulate is objectionable when used to compliment members of certain communities. You remember that's what Biden did with Obama. He called him the first clean clean African American who's articulate. That's a storybook, man. That's what he said about Barack Obama. The remark suggests that the person in question is expected to be less competent, intelligent, or well-spoken. You know, that is a load of hooey. Honestly, if you're saying, if it's okay to say a white person's articulate, but not a black person, which to me is the clear implication here, to me, it's almost more racist that you're not allowed to use that word, articulate. Well, so, hey, that white guy there, he's a real articulate spokesperson for his team. He can make a presentation, no problem. To me, if you're removing that word from your vocabulary just because the person that you want to describe is black, to me, that's even more offensive. The glossary is also replete with bloated definitions of woke war horses, like microaggressions. I'll be honest with you, I still don't even understand what a microaggression is, which it notes are everyday verbal, nonverbal, and environmental slights, snubs, insults, actions, remarks, or questions that, whether intentional or unintentional, you know, and that's what, you know, that's my big beef here, is these unintentional microaggressions. Look, if I go up to someone and I go out of my way to be insulting and not with a racial term, a sexual term, or maybe it's not even an overt insult. Maybe I'm just being hostile. That is one thing and should be dealt with. But if someone is unintentionally making someone feel bad with one of these microaggressions, which supposedly communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative messages. I mean, come on. This is such nonsense. One senior J.P. Morgan executive told the New York Post, they're creating unnecessary friction and it's not helping anyone. Agreed. And I just wonder how many big corporations this goes on in and who is really helped by this. Comment if you like. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Janet is in Nevada. Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to put a little maybe different slant on this Kristi Noem thing.
Sure.
And first of all, I'm a total animal lover. I'm the only person I know who rescues pigeons.
Wow, good for you.
So, any other animal that at least had to shoot an animal, even for me, if I had to kill a cow to eat steak, I would never eat steak. But that's the people who live, the ranchers, and she's been a rancher all her life. She grew up on a ranch, she lives on a ranch, and that's just the kind of mentality. I mean, I adopted a Kelpie, which is a healer dog, a herd dog from Australia, because a cow stomped her and she wouldn't work anymore. So the guy said, well, you can have her because I got no use for her. So it's just like a, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot better to have one shot and they know they're going to be basically painless or sudden death than these people that throw puppies out in garbage and throw their old dogs out on the street and things like that. Those are the people that, to me, should be cited.
Janet, yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. That's horrible. And based on what you and the other callers are saying, it sounds like this practice is much more common than I realized. I still don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's nice. I don't think anybody should do it. But even if you do, I just don't think that this is something that America is going to get. So to me, it's not just the fact that she did it. It's the way that she kind of bragged about this and the way that she handled this. I don't think it's appropriate at all. Hey, well, there's a good news, bad news situation. The good news is that a high school in Texas is pulling, the bad news is that a high school in Texas is pulling the valedictorian title from a student. The good news is this has nothing to do with protesting or the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but I still feel really bad for this student. Listen to this. This is out of Blue Ridge, Texas. Maya Valiz was a high-performing senior at Blue Ridge High School in Blue Ridge, Texas. And she learned, she was told she was the valedictorian. And she was really excited, and she prepared a speech thanking the administration, thanking the school, really being a great cheerleader for the school. Then she learned just a couple of weeks before her graduation that her speech was going to be canceled, that she was not going to be the valedictorian because of a miscalculation. Now, isn't that a rotten thing to do? Now, I don't know what the solution is. Obviously, if someone had higher grades than her, they should be the valedictorian, not her. But isn't that the kind of thing that you can double check and triple check before telling a 17 or 18 year old girl that she's going to be the valedictorian, and she goes to the trouble of writing a speech for this? So the girl's father, Jorge, spoke with People magazine and told the publication that his daughter went from being valedictorian to being ranked third overall at the school. The girl's father said the family first learned she would become valedictorian back on March 28th. She was handed her transcript where it said she was number one along with her GPA. So according to People, on April 8th, the man and his wife received a call from the school's principal And he said, well, there was a miscalculation on Maya's GPA, which now means she will no longer be number one. She'll be number three. You know, even if that's the case, I think you have to find some way to let this girl give a speech, right? I mean, you don't call her the valedictorian. I guess salutatorian is number two. Give her some other award. I don't know. Most improved player. Best supporting student. I don't know. But you can't just yank this award from her. So Jorge told people that Maya had transferred from another school as a junior back in 2022, going on to say that the family had been in touch with a school counselor to make sure her grades were correct. The counselor had told us, oh, don't worry, Maya's on the good road. The only way that I could foresee Maya not being valedictorian is if Maya fails her courses completely. She hasn't failed anything. She's been taking dual credits, AP, honors, and anything that's available. The girl's father said they even asked the counselor if it was necessary for her to take any extra courses, to which the counselor allegedly replied, no, everything is good. Citing a Blue Ridge independent school district policy implemented in 2017, however, Jorge Valiz said his daughter wouldn't be given credit for some courses she took at her previous school because they weren't offered to the students in that school district. Well, some of those courses are in the Blue Ridge Independent School District catalog, but they're saying that they don't have any teachers to teach them. So they've kind of contradicted themselves all around on this policy. I think this is just terrible. Absolutely terrible. This is the statement from the school district. If you want to weigh in, you know, you can, 800-848-9222. The Blue Ridge Independent School District has investigated this private student matter and communicated with the parents. The district reviews academic achievement, grade calculations, and class rank during this time period each year in accordance with applicable state law and board policies. Miscalculations were originally made when finalizing GPA and class rank, then corrected to ensure compliance with both of these board policies. All students affected have been notified. I mean, it's not really much of an explanation, just saying that students got notified. I feel like it's a really crummy thing to do to this girl and her family. I mean, hopefully the girl doesn't care too much, but I suspect if she went to the trouble of writing a speech, she probably does. You know, I feel bad. All right. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Charlie's in Hell's Kitchen. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Frank. I want to comment on the governor, Governor Kristi Noem. First of all, even if she didn't know, even if she's a rancher girl and from, you know, North Dakota, and that didn't occur to her, I would think that at least her publisher, somebody else, I think somebody sabotaged her by not giving her a heads up about this. And I just wanted to say, it really is important. Some of your previous callers had mentioned how bad it was, and it's true. We had an inmate on the cell block one time, when he was a teenager, he did, you know, an act of cruelty to a puppy, ended up killing him, and it was a cat too. And the other inmates gave him such a hard time, and it was unbelievable just to watch and see. I mean, you had inmates who were literally, you know, wife beaters, girlfriend beaters, you know, child beaters. You had some of the worst people imaginable, but they all looked down on this guy. I mean, this guy was low man on the totem pole. That's probably a banned expression by DEI too, because it's anti-Native American, and now that I come to think of it. But I mean, this is you wouldn't even say low person on the totem pole, but he was a, you know, I mean, he was just looked down upon by everyone. I mean, even people who have done monstrous things. I mean, what he did was so cruel, and he did it to a defenseless animal, that even truly monstrous guys just looked down on him. And he had a hard time, you know, where everyone, he had to leave the cell block eventually after several months. And no matter where he went in the prison, he had a reputation that crime followed him. And he just had a hard time doing it. So, I mean, it's something that's generally looked down upon. And even if she's from South Dakota and from a ranch and she can't read room, she wouldn't know how, you know, like a city people or other people who didn't grow up on a ranch would feel. Someone in the publishing company one of her advisors should have clued her in and said, no, this isn't going to work. I mean, Dr. Oz, when he was running from Pennsylvania, that came back that he had something like that in his background. That hurt his chances. And now you got basically a stroke victim representing the state of Pennsylvania. Anyway, thank you. That's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. And remind me, Charlie, your time in prison was as a correction officer or as an inmate or both?
Correction officer.
Correction officer. Good for you. Thanks for your service. Nothing against people that were there as inmates, but, you know, I think a lot of people who are hearing Charlie for the first time might be wondering. All right. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. We'll continue with your call straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the
great
rainbow.
Louis Armstrong singing "What a Wonderful World," like only he can. This is a birthday bumper music selection by my friend Katie Magliocca. Katie is a close friend of mine, but she happens to be married to one of my oldest and dearest friends, Anthony Magliocca. And they have two beautiful children, Penelope and Andrew, and Penelope happens to be my goddaughter. So she is extra special to me. Happy, happy birthday to Katie, and hopefully my goddaughter Penelope's planning something fun for you today. But in any event, I'm sure all of your birthday wishes are likely to come true. And thanks for giving us the opportunity to play a little Louis Armstrong, because you can't go wrong with Louis Armstrong. That's for sure. 800-848-9222. Going to get back to your calls in a moment. You know, speaking of children, Carmine is my 2-year-old. He's such a character, right? And he's got so much personality. And every day I just see more and more personality. He's talking up a storm. I posted a video, which you could see on Facebook yesterday, where he pops into the video and says a few words. He's a real character and very sweet. But he's also, you know, like a 2-year-old. So we go to church on Sunday, and he's not always the sit quietly in church type. So when he starts acting up a little bit, being kind of noisy, we go to this corner. They call it Andy's Corner because the church we go to is St. Andrew's. And there's toys in there, there's coloring books, and it's meant to be an area where you can move around a little bit without necessarily disturbing the other parishioners. Well, we went back there for maybe 5 minutes, and he was not having it. He played with cars for a few minutes, and then he was trying to get the cars out of our little corner, and he wanted to go back and sit in our regular area. So my wife and I look at one another and said, all right, okay, let's go back and sit in that other area. And so we're getting back into the pew, and he shouts out, I mean, everyone else is quiet because it's a church, and, you know, it's not terribly crowded, but he shouts, I don't remember what was going on with the readings or what was going on at that point, but he just shouts loudly as we're getting back into the pew and he was holding his car. He shouts loudly, yay, And everybody heard him. Everyone starts laughing in the whole church, even all the way up in the front. And then the priest starts, he said, oh, that's got to be Carmine. And then he starts doing this whole sermon that he pivots to all about Carmine saying yay, all about biblical references to children and exuberance and things like that. And I'm trying to say to Carmine, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. But he didn't seem to appreciate it. So that was the early part of the day. And then in the evening, he gave me quite a little bit of a scare because he's running around and, you know, he's at this stage, like a lot of kids are, where he loves putting things in his mouth that are not supposed to go in your mouth, not food or drink or candy or things like that. He'll put anything in there. Sometimes he puts fake food in his mouth, like if in his, he's got a fake kitchen, he'll put a fake apple in there or something. And so we're at the playground, because beautiful day in our area. We're at the playground and he picks up some chalk and he's putting the chalk in his mouth and he's chewing the chalk, sidewalk chalk, like gum. And I stick my finger in his mouth to try and get this chalk out of there. And he starts biting my finger hard. In fact, I have actually still some of his, I did have some of his teeth marks on my finger until recently. Now it's gone. But I mean, he's biting my finger hard because I'm trying to get this chalk out. So anyway, we're going on with our day. We're home now. And he gets these 3 or 4 pennies that he's playing around with. And I see he sticks one of these pennies in his mouth. I said, Carmine. And, you know, usually I'm joking around with him and playing with him. But I said, Carmine, very sternly, take that out of your mouth right now. And he stops. And I couldn't tell if he was trying to get it out of his mouth or spit it out of his mouth. But starts coughing. Right now, I go up behind him. I'm concerned that he's choking on this penny. And I'm hitting his back. And I'm saying to my wife, go get the choking thing, the de-choker. And she said, no, it's okay. If he's coughing, that means he can still breathe. And that's always an important thing to keep in mind, because when you're coughing, that means there's still air going back and forth when you can't. And that happened to my dad once. My dad almost choked on a piece of steak and on his birthday, by the way. No, it was my stepmother's birthday, actually. And my Uncle John had to give him the Heimlich and eject the steak. But my dad couldn't talk, couldn't cough or anything. He could just point to his throat to motion that he was choking. And the same thing, we had Andrew Stein on this program, talked about being saved by Woody Allen with the Heimlich maneuver. Same deal. He wasn't coughing or anything. So my wife, she, you know, is one of 9 siblings and the second oldest girl. So she knows about all this stuff. So she says, no, it's okay. If he's coughing, it's okay. And sure enough, the penny's not in his mouth anymore. So he swallowed the penny, which apparently is a fairly common thing. But he did get a little freaked out. And, you know, he started crying a little bit. And I guess it feels awkward, but I'm sure it'll come out when he passes the penny. But that was some of the Carmine drama that we dealt with this weekend, putting things in his mouth and becoming a part of the scene at church and saying yay at a very theatrical time. So hopefully you had a nice weekend too. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Nick is on the throughway. Hi, Nick.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
I wouldn't have turned on the fan either until Carmine was ready to lay down or something. I probably would have just left it in the window.
Right. But, Thank you, Nick. are you not divorced, are you?
No. Good. I've been married 26 years.
All right, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Right, but
Thank you. Good.
You know, that stuff just happens. But as far as in defense of Christy Noem, I don't know if you've ever been out to South Dakota, but there might be 1 million people in the whole state, whereas in the tri-state area, you got tens of millions of people and a lot of, like, the helping hounds and rescues and stuff to take dogs that are aggressive like that. I've tried to personally adopt some dogs, and some dogs are just nasty. And the dog wasn't a puppy. You said he was 18 months or 2 years. And the wire hair pointers like that, they can run up to $2,000 or $2,500 for them bird dogs. And I don't think it went lighthearted taking the dog down, you know, or putting the dog down when she did it. But as far as the livestock, I've lived in central New York for 30 years now, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a farmer or a rancher who hasn't put an aggressive male animal down. The bulls, a hog, or a goat, or anything like that. If you got a nasty male or a real aggressive animal, people put them down all the time. It's commonplace.
I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that's true. That being said, Nick, do you think she made the right decision by sharing this story in the manner that she did in her book?
I'm thinking locally it won't bother her, like in South Dakota, but nationally, with the diverse, you know, views of people, it will be a problem for her to run for president. But I'm just out there to say it's commonplace in rural communities. And if you don't have the infrastructure like you do in the tri-state area, or even in Syracuse, we have a lot of rescues. I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. I mean, for her to find somebody to take the dog, you know, and if she really tried to work it, if they have bird dogs, you got to put in a lot of hours with them. If she's trained dogs like that, and this thing was that aggressive biting people, you know, I'd have to, you know, take her opinion on it. And being where she is, how she handled it. And like another lady was saying, she's been ranching her whole life. She knows animals. You know, she literally, you know, she's an actual cowgirl who does cattle drives on a horseback, you know. So I think she has the experience to make that decision. And then, like I said, living in the middle of nowhere, you just don't have the infrastructure.
So it sounds like you think people like me, we're being a little too judgmental and we're viewing this situation through our urban prism.
Yes, and that's flyover country, and a lot of people don't understand, you know, that type of life. I grew up in Rockland 20 years, and I spent 30 couple of years up here, and I've learned a great deal moving into the country, say it that way. It's a lot different way of life. It really is, even in New York.
All right, so. Nick, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for holding. Sorry if it took me a while to get to you. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. We're on Facebook as well. You can follow the Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. And if you follow the page, there's an opportunity to join our Facebook group, which is meant to be a forum for discussing the issues that we bring up on this show. Right now, there's a lot of discussion about this Christine Noem issue, which people seem very into, as well as obviously a lot of other things that we've been covering, not only today, but in general. So if you're interested in making your voice heard, particularly those of you that listen to the show on the podcast, because obviously I realize not everybody has time to listen live, but for those of you that listen on the podcast and want to share a thought about something that I've said, and you don't have time to call in, or you can't call in live at the time that we're doing this, go to the Facebook group and make your opinion heard. I'm always trying to get new people to comment in the Facebook group and to post in the Facebook group. I think, unfortunately, what happens is a lot of the same people end up posting. It's about, I don't want to say 40 or 50 of the same people, even though we have thousands of members. And a lot of people tell me that they love watching the back and forth in the group, but they don't necessarily like to post themselves. That's my mission for the day, is to try and get you, if you're in the group or if you're a listener to the show, to start posting, because we want this radio show to really be a community. And I think Facebook, while I have said many times, Facebook is no replacement for a real community, I think for electronic purposes, it enhances kind of the community feel of this show. You know, there's a great talk radio movie, which is simply called Talk Radio, and Aaron Bogosian plays a great talk radio host named Barry Champlain. He wrote it as well. It's also a play, and it's terrific. And Barry Champlain says in that picture, talk radio is America's last neighborhood. Now, that was in the late 1980s.
I think if you were to make that film in the 21st century, there would certainly be a social media component to that as well. All right. Let me hear from you. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. In the meantime, your influence counts. Use it.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.